Air pollution in Australia is inadequately regulated, monitored and enforced, and federal leadership is lacking. The states aren't enforcing existing laws, and as a result, more than 3,000 Australians are dying prematurely each year. They are the key conclusions from a new report on Australia's air pollution. It's called Clearing the Air and recommends new and binding national air pollution laws be introduced. The report's author is Nicola Rivers. She's Director of Advocacy and Research for Environmental Justice Australia, and she joins us now from Melbourne. Morning, Nicola, and welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Ellen. Thank you.
What have you found? You say air pollution's not being taken seriously. What are the findings exactly?
Well, a 2007 study found that 3,000 Australians a year die from air pollution, but yet the federal and state governments are still not regulating this area adequately. So our air pollution laws fail to protect those people.
How is that possible? I mean, we report on this network all the time about air pollution levels in China and the impact that they have on the population there. There's no similar reports about that happening in Australia.
No, it is quite shocking. I think most Australians would be very surprised to realise that many people a year die from air pollution. And in fact, that number has probably increased significantly because it's a study done in 2007. The study hasn't yet been repeated, so we don't have new data. But there are people around Australia who are exposed every day to levels of pollution that are not acceptable.
Lead pollution was the big concern decades ago. What sort of pollution is causing this problem now?
Well, in terms of lead pollution, in some ways it's improved and in some ways it hasn't. So the general levels of lead in our air have improved for most people because of things like unleaded petrol. But there are communities in Australia who live near, for example, lead smelters that are still being exposed to unacceptable levels. So, for example, in Port Pirie, there's more than 3,000 children in the last decade have had elevated levels of lead in their blood, and that's continuing to happen from new lead emissions. One of the major concerns today, though, really is what we call particulate pollution. Mm. So very fine particles that draw deep into the lungs and can cause lung cancer and heart attack and stroke. From a range of different sources, but things like coal mines, coal-fired power stations, transport of coal in uncovered wagons, diesel trucks, all these things cause particulate pollution. And that particular type of pollution called PM2.5 is completely unregulated in Australia.
So no one makes an attempt to regulate it. How's that possible?
Yeah, so Australian governments have been talking about this for 16 years now, whether to regulate PM2.5. So they know that there are serious health consequences from it. And every time they meet, they talk about it and they decide not to regulate.
Why not? What's the stumbling block?
Well, it's hard to know. I think the US has been regulating this for 14 years, so it's not a new thing. Just 2 weeks ago, ministers announced again that they wouldn't regulate, that instead they would continue to monitor levels. So that's all we have in Australia for PM2.5.
And you have no sense of why, I mean, other than the challenges with the Federation, which we could run as a separate question in almost every interview we do on RN Breakfast. Other than that, what is the stumbling block?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously the challenges with the Federation are a huge issue. You've got 9 different states and territories in the federal government all trying to agree whether we should regulate this area or not. I guess in some cases they may assume that it's too difficult to do, that there are many sources of PM2.5 and they don't want to go there. But the reality is it's absolutely possible to regulate this. As I said, the US and many other countries, Canada, the EU, have been regulating for, you know, about 14 years. We know the health dangers from PM2.5. It does kill people, and yet there's no regulation for it.
And so you're calling for a National Air Pollution Prevention Act. What would that look like?
Yeah, so at the moment we have a system where some very weak, unenforceable national standards are made and then the rest is left to the states and territories to implement. And that system is clearly failing, and we set that out in the report. What we think we need now is the Commonwealth government to take leadership and step in and say, this is a national issue, this is killing Australians. We need a National Air Pollution Act. That is Commonwealth legislation. It's not negotiated between all the states and territories. It has automatically adopts World Health Organization standards, not the standards that we just think we can meet, and it has real protection for the communities most affected. So those communities that live next to a pollution source, they have actual real protection.
So you're talking about setting outcomes. These are the outcomes you want in terms of what's in the air. What about outputs? What industries would be impacted by those sorts of standards?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the industries that contribute most to air pollution in Australia. So for example, coal mines and coal-fired power stations, smelters that release very, very high levels of various substances like lead, sulfur dioxide, any of those substances that really impact on human health and impact on the environment. So diesel cars and trucks are pretty badly regulated in Australia. For example, in Yarraville in Melbourne's west, in one residential street, there are 7,000 diesel trucks a day that go down that street, where schools and childcare centres are, huge levels of particulate pollution released, and it's just not regulated. So those kinds of industries that are having the most impact, they really need to clean up their act.
All right, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Ellen.
That was Nicola Rivers, who's the author of the report Clearing the Air and Director of Advocacy and Research for Environmental Justice Australia.